As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Oh, man, we're making decisions off the air.
It's good stuff.
It's good stuff.
It's good. All right, calm down.
All right. I got things to do.
Well, we got... Okay. But so, you got to do your show first, then the other things.
The show is the epicenter of all of it.
Yeah.
So, if you guys didn't... Do you know how many times I watched Friday's segment of you guys giving me birthday gifts?
I watched it about 4 times, the clip you sent.
If you go back to Friday, it would have been the last segment, right?
Yeah, last segment.
Maybe 2:45 would lead into it. So Friday was my birthday, and it was a great birthday. That's not exactly what this is about. But the gifts that I got from Brad has hustled his butt off and got me White House press passes. So you might not have been listening on Good Friday, but yes, I'm going to the White House, and I'm going to be a part of the press pool. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Am I saying that right?
Yes.
Set it up.
So I have been, initially I reached out to my contacts at the White House. Most of you listeners know who I'm talking about.
Will, my man, Will Scharf.
And I said, hey, I want to get Annie something really cool and unique for her birthday.
That's so cool.
And
and we're going to get to Ryan in a minute.
I floated some ideas, like maybe a pen that Donald Trump had used to sign an executive order, something along those lines, something that you can't just buy, something that would be historic and unique.
And, he could have just sent you a Sharpie,
He really could have.
You have no idea.
Yes, absolutely. He wouldn't do that because
he will do that.
I know you would, but he wouldn't because he is a great person and an awesome friend.
We'll get to Ryan in a minute.
And then there's you. No. But he's like, I got a better idea. And then he said, hang tight for a second. And so then he texts me back and he's like, how would Annie like to go and sit in a White House press briefing and maybe travel with the press pool for a couple days?
And your response was?
I was like, that would be amazing. He's like, stand by, let me work on this. And so Friday morning, I was on the phone with some contacts at the White House trying to get it set up and understanding what it would be and all that
other
stuff.
The White House knows about this, right?
Yes.
Okay. Just checking. Well, I am Annie.
People in the White House know about it, so I guess that means the White House knows about it. So
some of the possibilities, I mean, we're looking to maybe turn this around pretty quickly if I can make it work with my schedule and they accept the dates. But the idea is that I would do what we think.
So you would go, basically what I was talking about them with is you would go, and if Carolyn Leavitt is giving a press briefing, that you would sit in the press briefing, maybe ask a question or two, and then...
maybe ask a question. Maybe,
yeah.
Carolyn, she big has fan.
Yeah. Gary Vood.
Start that way.
She has to call on you naturally.
Yeah.
But then the other side of that was, too, you would get to travel around with the press pool and just the press pool things.
Do what they do.
Yeah. And report back to, I guess, us.
The people.
The people. About what the White House is doing and all that other stuff. And they're coming up on their 100 days celebration. Mm-hmm. So maybe we can get you there for that.
The White House press pool is the same press pool that sits in the Carolyn Leavitt press conferences, but I think it's also the same press pool that would go in at like 2 o'clock when he's signing executive orders.
Yeah. Yeah, because I see Peter Doocy in there a lot. I see Caitlin Collins, a lot of the other.
You should walk in and just start talking to all the press, like calling them nicknames. Hey, what up, Deuce?
Just do
that.
No.
You could.
I could.
You should.
Not.
You should.
Don't even
that.
Put that out into the ethos. Just
like Caitlin Collins. Okay, what up, KC? Just anything you come up with in the moment. Don't think about it ahead of time. Do like I do. Never think ahead of time.
I can tell. So that was so cool, and I'm excited about it. I'm going to try to turn this around quickly while the invitation is still fresh, and they suggested to you that would be a good time.
The week after next, yeah.
So,
or no, I'm sorry, next week. Not this week.
It was the week after next,
then, but that would be
but now
it would
soon.
Be next week. When will then be now?
Time. So interesting.
So what is your problem?
Fascinated by time.
He sounds bitter.
Ryan, do you have a word quota today?
Just trying to get my thoughts in.
I just like to interrupt Brad.
Yeah. Brad's giving quality information, and Ryan's just like,
two times?
I think I'm going to talk now.
Ooh, good joke right there. I'm just going to slip it in. It's kind of my role.
I'm going to wait for you to make a really good point, and then I'm going to say some fancy word.
Lucky for you, and I'll make good points.
Anthropomorphism. So we're working out the details on that. And if you go back to the Friday episode on YouTube, please come subscribe. I got to look and see how many subscribers we got right now. 11,790. We only need 210. We're over 12,000 subscribers.
Ooh.
So please help us get there, because I assume that this White House visit is going to be me observing a lot of things quietly in the background. I'm going to set expectations really low, and maybe I sit in a chair at a desk while the press pool is doing press stuff, and I sit there all day, but that would be cool enough. That's already far and away cooler than anything I could imagine. Anything above that, super exciting. We'll wait and see what happens. I have my expectations for what I get to do as super low, because the cost of entry is as cool as it gets. So I'd like to get, we're going to put a lot of content up on the YouTube channel while I'm in DC, whatever I'm going to be doing there. I'm hoping to go leave after a show gets done during the week, be there for a full day. If there's other opportunities that present themselves, like maybe a chance to go meet with some Congress folks or whatever that are there, I might like the opportunity to check that out. And then maybe, so I probably would be out 2 days, but one of those days I might be able to broadcast remotely. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe both. I have no idea.
Well, that's exciting.
I don't know. But bear with me. I know people are like, oh, you're taking time off again. I don't feel like I take any time off. I know that that's the way it might seem from the other side. I just took a trip with my daughter to Florida. That was actually kind of time off, like vacation mode. Friday, I'm going to be going to Schaumburg, Illinois. Byron Donalds is at an event there, and I got invited to come up there and attend this event and have an opportunity to have an audience with him. So we're getting invited to a lot of places, and I feel very excited to be a part of that. And so that's what's going to be happening here in the next couple weeks. So you could go back and you could watch us on the YouTube channel. Come subscribe to the Annie Fry, F-R-E-Y. Just type in Annie Fry on YouTube and subscribe. You can also see immediately after that Ryan's gift.
I want you to know, this is new information.
Oh.
That while he was trying to get you press passes to the White House, I'm trying to get you press passes to Universal Epic Universe.
That's actually true.
That is true.
But you're kind of doing that as much, if not more, for you than me.
Look, if they only give us one ticket, the person who contacted them probably should get it.
I'm sure. I'm sure of it.
But I am trying very hard. I had such a good time with you guys when we went down to Florida, the four of us, back a year and a half ago. And I want to recapture that. And to me, that's the greatest gift of all, is friendship. That's why
you gave
for
me
your
root
birthday,
beer?
I gave you a bunch of drinks that you may not drink. I gave you a 12-pack of root beer and orange cream. Have you cracked that open yet?
No.
Why?
I'm not saying this to be rude, but I don't drink sugared soda.
Ugh, that's so rude. I knew that you didn't, but I thought but I thought your family might enjoy them, and they looked like a lot of fun.
So, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
I appreciate that you got me something. You also gave me a Scooters gift card.
Yeah, I knew you would use that.
Yeah, I will. I need to upload that to my Scooters app. You said this Friday, too. You said that you didn't know if I would like them, but you thought my family would.
Yeah.
It kind of feels like a gift for my family.
Yeah, it kind of is. It kind of is a gift for your family. That's why I did the other one, too, because I thought, well, maybe she would indulge one or two of these root
beers.
How
much is that Scooters gift card?
30.
Is it?
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
See? And then plus the root beer was just a bonus.
In that regard, I think it actually is.
So if you don't drink any, no loss. You got the gift card.
That's good.
But if there's a night where you're like, doggone it, that cream soda
fantastic. I've never in my lifetime had cream soda.
You're kidding.
No.
Regular red cream soda, nothing. You've never had any cream soda. Mm-mm. This is your opportunity to change your life.
This is an opportunity.
I think that you should go home right now.
All right, bye.
And go drink. And go drink like triple fist all three of those things. There's orange cream, there's root beer, there's cream soda.
How does one triple fist?
Just figure that out. That's up to you. You put them all out on a table, pop the caps, and you just start going bam, 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 bam. See which one you like the best, and then get addicted to sugary sodas.
You have a touch of the diabetes?
Just a little. Yeah, I dabble.
How?
I genuinely don't know.
It hadn't occurred to me until you talked about this iteration of how I could drink that soda.
Yeah.
That was like a fantasy of yours to drink soda that way. Maybe you have done that before.
You know, I've never really done that. I feel like that's indulgent, but it's your birthday.
Not anymore.
Well, it was, and I think that you should still consider the proposal that I'm making.
Amy says, Brad, gift of the year. Amy, tell us about Ryan's.
That's incredible. I mean, and Brad goes, here, I'll give you mine first. Yeah. Like, are you kidding
you
me?
You didn't know that he had
done
that.
I didn't even know what it was. He just went first, and I thought, oh, that's fine.
You should go back and watch the video. If you heard it on the radio, I think I had some people comment about it this weekend, and they were entertained for sure. But when you go back and you watch Ryan's face the whole time.
I'm shocked. I got to appreciate a little bit that you guys keep me in the dark about some of the stuff that's going on the show.
There are always secrets.
There are.
Because we have to talk about things on the air. We can't have the whole conversation off the air and then
duplicate I appreciate.
It. Yeah.
Like to find that out, that's a huge thing, mm-hmm. Which is why we're talking about it now. The fact that you're going to be in the White House.
Like cream soda.
At some point. And to have that happen live, for me anyway, because I had no clue. I knew that it had been discussed that at some point we're trying to make that happen, but no clue that you had pulled it off, Brad. Super impressed. And then to see that's your birthday gift.
He kisses
and then go,
case and goes, I got
crap.
You this root beer.
I got you some root beer, knowing that you don't drink it. Have fun in Washington, D.C.
And a generous Scooters gift card.
And that's right. Very generous. And the fact that I'm working on the press passes to a theme park.
For you.
I'm working on it. No
guarantees. Are you using my name to get these?
I might be.
I hope you're successful.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, look, you guys have to understand. She's a big deal. And they're like, what are you talking about?
She's been to the White House.
That's the point.
Add that.
Like, when I hear these things, I'm like, ooh, this could get us like fast passes. Skip the line stuff. Here's a picture of her in the White House. You probably want her around you, too, also, right? I don't know why I said two also.
As well. Anyway, it was exciting. My parents weren't listening on Friday, so they didn't know about that. So I got to go sit. I played them the video back so that they could see the White House press pass stuff. But I really wanted them to see you give me root beer. And they loved it all. At one point, I told him that the root beer was expired, and you look like you might have lost a year or two of your life.
Oh, I was so mad because I thought this will be fun, even if it ends up being mostly your family. Like whatever, we'll have fun with it. But then for it to be expired, I think my countenance actually fell. I was so mad that I wouldn't have checked that. You know,
the look is great.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
It wasn't expired.
It's my
though.
Face. It was not expired.
I just did that to screw with you.
Yeah, you did.
And it worked.
Well, it worked for just as long as it needed to be working.
Is it really? And
which
I'm like, no.
1 second. Yeah, it lasted 1 second.
Oh, man. Let's get an update from Capitol Hill with Ryan Schmelz when we come back. Fox News Radio, Capitol Hill and White House correspondent. Always great to talk to him and kind of get the situation leveled for us so that we can know where we are in the big, beautiful bill, where we are with Congress. Are they getting the things done that they need to be? He is there on Capitol Hill, and he reports with us here when we come back. Go vote in the YouTube live chat poll. We get 300 votes. We're going to take phone calls on this at 2:05. Should legislatures outlaw school mascots they deem derogatory? Yes or no? It's happening in Illinois. Are you in favor of this? Yes or no? Give us your thoughts on the YouTube live chat poll. Ryan Schmelz next.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, as you're aware, we have one of the smallest majorities in the history of America. And so we have to thread this needle to pass this one big, beautiful bill. And the president has been crystal clear. He's not going to cut benefits to people on Medicaid, Medicare, Social Security. And the big, beautiful bill that we send to the president's desk has to address that. Are there reforms within those programs that can be included in this bill that will cut fraud, waste, create more efficiencies? Absolutely. And you can do that without cutting benefits. We have to make sure we deliver on this one big, beautiful bill. If we do not, Americans will face the largest tax increase in the history of America. On average, 207 million taxpayers will see a 22% tax increase. That is the last thing they need right now after they've seen an inflation tax of over 20% in the last 4 years in the Biden administration.
Well, that's Congressman Jason Smith, who will be on the Annie Frye Show tomorrow. But we want to get an update from our friend Ryan Schmelz. He's Fox News Radio, Capitol Hill and White House correspondent on X at Ryan Schmelz Fox. We want to know, Ryan, how is the negotiation going right now for this big, beautiful bill to finally make its way to the president's desk?
Well, it's still in the early stages. You know, the framework got passed. So you have the agreement that's there, which is and the big one was always going to be tax law. And you got spending cuts. So $1.5 trillion on the record from John Thune. At least that's what he said he would agree to. $1.5 trillion in spending cuts. But that's also where it's going to get tricky, because I think there is a thought that there's no way you can get to $1.5 trillion without getting into a couple of things, which includes entitlements and also includes military spending potentially. So that's probably going to be the challenge here, is how do they come up with this money that's going to be enough to get Freedom Caucus members, conservative members like Eric Burleson and some other members like that on board, but then also not lose some of the more moderate members along the way.
Okay, so Ryan Schmelz joining us right now. As I recall, the Senate has passed something that they're sending to the House. The House has to get on board right now. Will the House...
They got through that part.
That part got done.
Yes.
So now...
So they passed the framework. Now they actually have to start the process of reconciliation, which is putting the pieces of it together and saying, this is where the spending cuts are going to come from. This is what is going to be included in the tax cuts. This is what the energy policy looks like. So now, if you thought that was fun, watching Republicans find enough members to vote for the last bill, when they actually get to the reconciliation process, it's going to be quite the spectacle to watch, because this is going to be challenging. Not saying they can't get it done, but like Jason Smith, the chairman, just mentioned right there, they have one of the slimmest majorities in history, and just one member not liking what they see can cause a lot of problems.
Yeah, certainly. So you get the framework. I think that people like us who are on this side of things don't really understand the gravity of how big of an ask this is. Ryan, when was the last time a budget was passed?
An actual budget with appropriations and all that, the 90s, But the reconciliation process, which we're seeing right now, this usually happens whenever you have a new president take office and the president has control of Congress. So you saw Joe Biden use the reconciliation process. I believe that's how he got the Inflation Reduction Act through. Some of his other big legislative priorities, they were done through reconciliation. President Trump, first term, he used reconciliation to get the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act passed. And then President Obama used reconciliation to push the Affordable Care Act.
So when we talk about reconciliation, is the reconciliation process beneficial specifically because of the Senate's the majority that is needed there to vote, of course, in a simple majority in the House? As long, you said, one representative for Republicans more than Democrats, you can't lose any more than that. In the Senate, it's different. It's always a higher bar in order to pass things there. Yeah. The reconciliation is what makes that different.
Well, and it's the reason why they like to use reconciliation when it comes to these big priorities, because when they use the reconciliation process, they don't have to worry about the filibuster. Everything is passed through a simple majority. So unlike the government funding process, usually they're going to need 60 votes and the filibuster is an active piece of that. But when they have the reconciliation process, they can simply pass most of this just on a simple majority. So they have a lot of advantages here. And that's why you've seen presidents take advantage of it when they've had control of Congress, because this is the best way to get really the big items in their agenda across the finish line. It's just to use the reconciliation process. So on the Senate side, Republicans can really afford to lose about probably three or four on any big issue. Rand Paul's already going to be a problem, so it's really kind of 52. And then J.D. Vance can break the tie on just about anything. But then in the House, it gets even more complicated because you have somebody like Thomas Massie and Victoria Sparks, who were nosed on the framework just a week ago. You know, you add anybody else to that who's going to be a no, then the bill can get sunk. That's how complicated this majority is right now.
Ryan, is there even a loose timeline on any of this? Are they proposing that, well, if we try to get it done by this date, or are they just kind of going with the flow?
Memorial Day weekend is the deadline that Speaker Johnson has put out there, and that is the goal that they have for this. But, you know, I'm not saying it can't happen. I think the consensus around here is that it's a very ambitious goal to get to that point. But it's not saying it can't be done. It certainly can be. Just some believe it's a little ambitious.
So this bill, at least the details I've seen, do not suggest that they're actually going to balance the budget here. But between now and when they pass it, we're spending more now than after they pass it, correct?
I believe so. Correct. Yes. So if they're able to get the $2 trillion in spending cuts, they could definitely make a damper on government spending. But the question is, how much are the tax cuts going to cost? You know, that's where I think some of this becomes kind of a question where the math is disagreed upon between, you know, the Committee for Responsible Federal Budget, the Congressional Budget Office, House Republicans, Senate Republicans. Even within the House Republican base, there's disagreements about how the math is going to add up. And so that's where I think some of this disagreement comes from. Now, there's some who believe that there are things like energy policy that's going to be in here that's going to raise a lot of revenue. And there's some other aspects of this, too. I mean, yeah, keep in mind, there's like I believe 300 plus billion in military spending and border spending that's in here, too. So it gets a little complicated because there's ways in which they can raise revenue through reconciliation. There's also ways they can lose revenue, too. So I think that's kind of where the math is becoming a complicated piece of this.
We're speaking with Ryan Schmelz. He is the Fox News Radio Capitol Hill and White House correspondent. You know, we've heard the president talk about some of these executive orders that he's put into place. He wants to see them codified by Congress. Where do those? I mean, there's been a lot. There is so many that it's hard to even keep up with. I get the press schedule every day from the White House, and it just says like 3 p.m. President signed executive orders, and then there are more. There are proclamations and so on and so forth. How is Congress moving on making sure that these things that are signed in to action by the president can't be signed out of action by the next?
So when Congress gets back next week, they're actually going to be probably considering the first rescission bill that the Trump administration has sent to Congress. So that is going to include, I think it's about $10 billion, a little less than that. You'll have some USAID cuts in there, and you'll also have some cuts, I believe, to NPR and PBS. So that's not a lot of money that they're going after first, but it's the first trial, I would say, for a rescissions package. And this is another very easy process for the president. All that they have to do is send Congress what they want cut, and then the Senate and the House can pass that on a simple majority. So this is the first step you would see to maybe codifying some of those DOGE executive orders, especially when it comes to USAID. But I would also watch out for the reconciliation process and seeing some of those executive orders being codified through that as well.
I'm looking right now at the U.S. debt clock, and I have it up on my screen all of the time, Ryan, and it just, the DOGE clock had been added to the U.S. debt clock, and the savings per taxpayer, I was watching on Friday, I think it took like maybe 2 hours for the savings per taxpayer to go up $1, but it's now over $3,000. It's $3,059 in savings per taxpayer based on what DOGE has been able to track or claw back. What have you heard any discussion about the developments that might be taking place with the DOGE efforts specifically? And then, you know, we heard for a minute that maybe there was a DOGE dividend that was coming back per taxpayer. I don't know how popular that was. It was interesting to talk about for a day. Where's DOGE?
So a couple things. I know there's a back and forth, I think, from people about how much the DOGE savings are, how accurate they are. Obviously, the administration thinks that they're spot on. Some others will say that, you know, it's not, that's a number that the data is not provided there for them to really be able to dive into it and see how accurate it is. But, you know, and there's others who say, too, that, you know, these are savings, but they can't officially become savings until Congress passes the rescission package and codifies those savings into law. And then officially, whatever that money the government's being spent is spending on, then it officially goes away. Now, what you were saying, I believe it's kind of the reference that Elon made, I think, like early on when they were talking about, well, like returning the money actually to people in general.
Right.
Yeah, that kind of got mixed reactions from Republicans in Congress. I think there were some who just said, look, there's no way that we can actually be serious about addressing the national debt by just paying people money and doing a stimulus package similar to what they did during COVID. And I think there's also a concern that if you did something like that, that would drive up inflation as well. So I don't think that's realistically an option of something that could happen, just because I don't think there'd be enough support for it amongst Republicans, unless there were some Democrats out there who would support it. But I haven't really heard anything like that just yet.
Ryan, I've asked you this question in the past, but I just wanted to follow up to see if there's been any changes because things are fast moving. If they pass a budget this year, let's say they pass it before Memorial Day, and it hasn't balanced the budget, how long does that new budget go into effect? How soon could they come back to it, say, next year and say, okay, now we can actually balance this budget because we did that last year? Like, how quickly can that happen?
So normally the fiscal year starts at the end of September. Right now, the government's under what's called a continuing resolution, or a CR, that's funding the government until the end of September. So what Speaker Johnson and Leader Thune want to do is they want to do what's called the appropriations process, where they pass all 12 individual spending bills that fund different parts of the federal government. Well, normally they start that process in late September. We're now in late April, and we haven't seen a single appropriations bill proposed just yet. So not saying it's going to be impossible for them to pass these appropriations bills and make up a full budget, but it's going to take a lot of work, and it's definitely going to be a complicated process. And here's the thing you're probably going to want to watch for, too. With the appropriations bills and the actual budget process, you do need 60 votes in the Senate. So they're going to need some Democrats to play ball with them. And what has DOGE done? Is that maybe upset a number of Democrats where they're not going to get cooperation on it? Or Democrats, or at least some Democrats, going to say, hey, look, we know the makeup of Congress. We're going to have to do whatever we can and just try to find wins where we can. But if not, I mean, they could probably stall to the last minute. Next thing you know, we're going back to doing what's called an omnibus, which is, you know, one giant spending bill that they usually pass right before the government shuts down, and it funds the government through the end of September again. So that's what they're trying to do. Usually it's a end of September to end of September timeline for the fiscal year that they normally work with.
Ryan, what you said earlier in this conversation, that we haven't passed it like an actual budget since the 90s. Why? Yeah. Why? Why is it why is it so hard?
Congressional disagreements usually add up to it. Waiting till the last minute. it's hard to do. I mean, just passing 12 appropriations bills, it's not easy. And you're kind of seeing just right now. I mean, if we want to give right now an example, you know, new president, most of the Senate's time is eaten up just dealing with confirmations. You know, the whole hearing process and having the votes on the floor and the debates on the floor, that eats up a lot of time as it is. So that's probably one of it. You know, there's maybe the political will and the lack of attention to it. There's a number of factors as to why Congress has not been able to pass a full budget for a number of decades now. And if you were to ask somebody like Rand Paul, well, his theory is that there's the secret handshake that goes on, is that you wait till the last minute, Republicans and Democrats get together, each side gets at least some of what they want, and then they shake hands and they pass a bill, you know, late in the process to avoid a government shutdown. So it depends on who you ask, but there's a lot of reasons for why we've never been able to do it.
Yeah, I think that's kind of amazing. 90s, wow. Ryan, thank you for being with us today. We always love having you. We look forward to getting the updates as they continue to occur. You're the best. Thanks for being with us today.
Hey, thank you, Annie. Have a good one.
Yep, you as well. Bye-bye. Ryan Schmelz, the Fox News legal correspondent. I'm reading the wrong one. Fox News Radio Capitol Hill and White House correspondent. You can find him on X at Ryan Schmelz Fox. And he is always right there abreast of what is going on. There's got to be so much minutia that goes into what he does for a living. Like all of the things, the wealth of knowledge that he knows in his head, that you've got to understand processes in order to relate it to the American people in a way they understand. Because, man, when people say it'll take an act of Congress to do something, that means it's not going to happen. I mean,
he just outlined why that's so tough.
Yeah, the 90s.
That was a vocabulary test. Mm-hmm. Omnibus, mm-hmm. Appropriations,
reconciliation.
Yeah. Those are all things. Rescissions. Those are all things that are impacting the budget of the nation. And this is what we do for a living, and it is hard
for
us to keep up.
Yes. So you can understand, like, to me, it's interesting, one of the things that he said about why haven't we done this since the 90s? Like, good grief. And he said because it's hard to do, but he also said people didn't think it was a priority. It's like...
Well, that's totally true.
It's so amazing.
Like, what is more important than preserving our economy in a way that makes sure that in case of an emergency, we can break glass and have some money that actually exists behind that glass, not just a printing press that screws the future.
I think that we've been down that road.
Unfortunately, that road is a circle.
It's a cul-de-sac.
It's just a trek. And we're just going around and around and around and around. It's awful. Let's take a quick break. YouTube live chat poll. Should legislatures outlaw school mascots they deem derogatory? We want to know from you. You hear about the Illinois side of the river about the HB 1237 that is looking to make illegal mascots like the Collinsville Kahawk or the Muscoota Indian, Freeburg Midgets, the Granite City Warriors. I wonder if you can be a warrior and not be a Native American mascot as your warrior. Someone said in the chat that Calhoun might be the Warriors as well.
Oh, I saw that comment.
I'll have to look that up, too. Are there more that we haven't mentioned that are in the crosshairs of the Illinois State Legislature that wants to tell you how to run your local communities? Good grief. I mean, is there anything they won't control? I think you could probably understand where I am on this poll. But we need to know where you are as well. Hustle over to the Annie Fry YouTube live chat poll and let us know if you think legislatures should outlaw school mascots they think are derogatory. Oh, it's time. Let the legislature, let the state government handle your business for you. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Would love to hear your thoughts on the YouTube poll that Ryan just mentioned. Go to the Annie Fry YouTube channel. Say hi. We'd love to hear from you. I want to, well, probably in the 2 o'clock hour, we're going to talk a little bit about the issue a little bit more in depth. And if we get up to those votes, we will open the phones and let you guys reach out and call and talk about it yourself. There's a lot of feedback. I have a lot of Collinsville people in my social media feed. So a lot of people have changed their profile picture. So let's talk about that when we come back. What did you guys do for Easter? Did you have, is Easter a busy holiday weekend for your family, Ryan?
It is, especially when I have to serve at church, which I did.
What does serve at church mean?
Serve at church means...
Have to.
I do. I had to. I was scheduled. I didn't say, yes, I'll do it. They said, you're going to do it. I was teaching Sunday school again. And when you have you know, multiple. We'd always have a couple services. I think we went to three for Easter, and so they needed everybody possible to help serving kids. So that's an early start to the day, and then yeah, we just hunted.
Do you guys
eggs.
Have Sunday school? Do you take the kids out of church for the sermon?
To a certain age, yeah, yeah, up to I think fifth grade, and then after fifth grade, they stay in the service.
Can they stay in the service if they want to?
Yeah. Yeah, they just provide Sunday school for the kids, especially the younger kids.
Can you go to Sunday school? Can you go to the full church service and then go to Sunday school?
Or yeah, if you go to Sunday school. The problem is then you're going to sit through worship two times unless you come late to the first one. But yeah, that's the way we do it.
Okay.
This is how we do it. We don't sing that song at church because it's not holy. also, then we went to grandparents and did eggs at home, then grandparents afterwards, and had some really good pulled pork, and that was the highlight
of the day.
I was
going to say, what's your Easter meal?
That one was brisket and pulled pork, and yeah, I don't know that that's a traditional.
That's not standard
holiday meal,
but it sounds great. Doesn't
but
have to be standard.
It was great. And deviled eggs, man. I was just so full.
How do you like a deviled egg?
Are there different ways to make deviled eggs? I thought you just sort of whipped the yolk and then you put it back into it.
Yolk. what do you put in with the yolk?
I don't know. I don't ever make them.
You don't ever make them.
Mm-mm. My mom sprinkles some of that red stuff on top.
Paprika. And maybe. I don't know what your mom's into.
That's what most people do. And I look at it. Here's my experience. I look at it and I go, that looks good. And then I put it in my mouth. That is the end of it.
Yeah.
That's as much as I think about deviled eggs.
I think deviled eggs are a divider of people.
I do too.
You love them or you hate them. You see deviled eggs and you either get excited or repulsed.
And I used to hate deviled eggs. I don't know if it's me becoming a man. I was a child at once and I became a man.
When?
And now I love deviled eggs. This was a couple years ago.
Yeah. Congrats.
But now I see them and I'm like, give me the vacuum. I'm going to eat almost every single one of those.
What about dessert?
We had some cheesecake yesterday. I don't think that there wasn't like a I guess she did like a presentation. She put some
your
some
mom is
eggs
going, what do you mean there wasn't a presentation?
I had to be very, very kind there because I don't think I ate more than a couple bites of the cheesecake, but she did a lot of work to give that cheesecake to everybody, including the kids. They loved it.
Yeah.
Because it looked like Easter eggs.
Huh.
She put little like dabs on top of it that looked like eggs.
Dabs.
Yeah, a little dab will do you.
Icing?
How about you?
What about you, Brad?
We went over to my parents' house. I mean, yeah, naturally, church in the morning. Church for us starts at 10:30. We only did one service this year. And like Ryan, I was busy because I was serving. I didn't have to serve, but I like to serve my
He's
church.
He's really, really going in hard on that.
Yeah, I said have to. He was like, there's my talking point.
Yeah, that's my talking point. No, we did that. We did church service, and then after church service, we went over to my mom and dad's house, and we didn't have a traditional meal either. We had hamburgers, and we also did mac and cheese and baked beans and sloppy joes, I think my mom made as well.
Hamburgers and sloppy joes?
Yes, she made both.
It's a lot of ground meat.
Yes, but they raise cattle, so they have a lot of ground beef and stuff like that. So, and then we hung out over at my parents' house all day with my sister and my brother and their families, and then went home about 7 to get ahead of the storms that sort of didn't really show up for us, but
we had ham, funeral potatoes. You know what funeral potatoes are?
Is that the corn chip ones?
Are those
corn flakes?
Yeah,
he puts Ritz crackers in, like cracks up a bunch, breaks up a bunch of those, puts it on top. Cheese, diced potatoes. They're so good. Broccoli salad and a lettuce salad and halved sweet potatoes and a huge ham. Did I already say ham?
Did you have deviled eggs?
Darn right we did. And we
How'd
did
you make them?
The Evelyn way. My grandma's. My grandma made them every year. How long were we here?
56:50.
No, we're not. Oh. Get us more time. He's like
that
intently
is 10 seconds from now.
He's intently listening to the deviled egg story. He was looking at me and I'm like, okay, no music. You have you hard boil eggs, obviously. Take the yolk out.
Yolk.
Nope. We don't have those. You take the yolk out and you mix it with apple cider vinegar, salt, sugar, and yellow mustard to the right taste.
Okay.
And that's it. And then you put it back in.
I'll be the judge of that next Easter. I'll come over to your house.
I'm surprised you didn't.
Eat all your food.
I'm surprised you didn't. And then for dessert, we had, so we had left, my husband and oldest daughter Jensen made desserts for my birthday. And they made my grandma's eclair cake, which is just an eclair. It's like a puff pastry, maybe vanilla pudding, Cool Whip, and chocolate sauce or something on top. So good.
Can't
so simple.
Can't forget the pudding. I always say that. I've been saying that for years.
And they also made a cheesecake for me. My daughter had never made a cheesecake before, and she nailed this one. So we had some of those left over. But I made a carrot cake with my daughter. And are we breaking now? Or
no. 1 minute. My clock is messed up. I was looking down. I was like, man, it says 1:44:54. That's not right. So we got a minute.
We'll be with you for a little longer, folks. It just keeps becoming time. And I'm not getting anything.
Let me tell you about what we ate last
Easter. Wait a second. I had carrot cake.
Oh, okay.
And we made Rice Krispie Treats, which I think are one of the most underrated desserts that exist.
Mm.
We make regular Rice Krispie Treats, and then we do another one that's two-part Fruity Pebbles, one-part regular Rice Krispies. They're delicious.
Mm-hmm.
And then we made peanut butter chews.
What's that?
You don't know?
No.
Gosh. Do you know what a peanut butter chew is? Can I talk to you?
I haven't heard of those.
Go another minute. Go another 2 minutes.
Fox is going to disagree. Do y'all know what peanut butter chews are? Are you kidding me?
I like chews and I like peanut butter.
Annie Fry YouTube channel, comment and tell us if you know what a peanut butter chew is. Because my kids have never heard of them either. And I thought
Starburst?
Everybody our generation knew what a peanut butter chew was. What? We'll be right back. Don't go away.